to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be talking today about if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you serve a God of compassion, and He's looking for us to be a people of compassion. And so we've talked about that God is compassionate to forgive. He is a He's compassionate to heal. He's compassionate to teach us, to deliver us. We just talked about that. And today we're going to be adding a new element to God's compassion. We're going to be talking about that He is the God who restores life. So we're going to be getting to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 here in just a moment. But I want to say thank you to our friends at Treasure Your Landscape, Dan, Treasure, Heaven, and their team. They love Jesus and they love what they do. They love taking an outdoor area and making it something that is beautiful, that's functional, and that is something that people are going to enjoy. They've got over two decades of experience in the landscaping business. They're licensed and insured right here in Brevard County. They go all throughout Brevard County, and they have a full array of products that can enhance your outdoor area, whether that is premium artificial turf, looks like real grass, or a carefully designed putting green. They have landscaping services, paver installation, landscape lighting, water features, managing drains and downspouts, landscape repair, designing, planting, maintaining. If you can think about it, they know how to do it. They've worked on some irrigation issues that I've had. They've come up with a wonderful creative solution on numerous occasions. And if your outdoor area did not survive the cold snap as well as you would like, they may be a great resource for you to talk to, not only for their landscaping services, which you can find out about at 321-749-1432, but they also have products that you can purchase directly at Space Coast Nursery, which is at 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8-5. Their phone number there is 321-452-5565. They are friends of the Refresh Radio program and just some all-around great people. They may be just the resource that you need to get your landscaping back in shape after the cold winter that we had. So thank you, Dan Treasure, and your team. So today we're going to go to Luke chapter 7, as I said, and we're going to be diving into another realm of compassion. And again, compassion does not stand alone. There are some people that say God is love, and he is, but then they forget all of the different aspects of how that love is demonstrated. And so the Bible says that God corrects those or disciplines those that he loves. Now, he brings a number of other tremendous aspects into our life. He comforts, he heals, he teaches, he forgives, he delivers. In Luke chapter 7, we're going to see God's compassion on display in Jesus' earthly walk. In a way that is pretty different from what we were talking about last week. Last week we were talking about the man with the demon-possessed son and how he approached the disciples, and they were arguing with one another, and that was getting them no place. Jesus comes down and takes care of the situation. Luke chapter 7, we're not going to read a whole lot of verses in this. We're going to start reading in verse number 11. So Luke chapter 7, verse number 11 says this: "Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region." So Jesus is walking through this village, and from the commentaries that I read, this village is still in existence and it's still known. Instead of N-A-I-N, it's N-E-I-N is the way that I encountered that in my commentary reading. But it's a village that wasn't too far from Capernaum. And as he's walking near the gate of the city, he encounters a funeral procession. It was the funeral of a man. And he is described as the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And this, the culture of that time, I mean, they buried bodies very quickly. So this is something that is very fresh. It's very raw, if you will. It's not something that the mother has, you know, spent weeks trying to recover emotionally from. This is something that is just occurring, and this is not her first encounter with death. I don't know about her parents' situation, but it describes that her husband had already died. She was a widow. And now here she is, having dealt with the loss of a husband, and now she is dealing with the loss of her only son. And we can read that story and we can think, you know, that's tragic. And we tend to go back and read the Bible through our modern filters. We don't realize that this was a life-altering loss for this mother. There was no safety net. There was no social security and things of that nature. This lady is now, in that day and time, women were not necessarily property owners. I mean, they could be entrepreneurial, but the loss of the husband meant that all of the belongings went to the son. And now this son has died, and this woman is extremely vulnerable. If you go and read in the book of Acts, you will find that the early church had a tremendous responsibility and outreach to widows, because that was a very, very vulnerable segment of society. So God said that he would provide, he would step up, and he would be the husband to the widow. He would be the father to the fatherless. And so this was very much a demographic that God had intentional compassion for. So here Jesus is walking into the city, and he is the author of life as a dead man is being carried out of the city. And those two paths collide. And because I know that the Lord orders steps, I don't believe that this is an accident. I believe that this is a divine appointment. I say that this one is different from our discussion about Mark chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 17, because in that situation, the father was the one who initiated the encounter with the disciples. Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, came down, and that's what he came down to. And I'll just throw this. A lot of times if you have an unbelievable spiritual encounter, don't be shocked if at some time you don't face a very real challenge that will try and bring you crashing back down into the realities of this life very quickly. But do keep your faith in Jesus and watch him work in those circumstances so that God gets the glory. That's what the end result of this chapter or this story is going to involve. Here in Luke chapter 7, Jesus initiates the conversation. I want you to hear what it says. By the way, Luke is the only one that tells this story. And in verse number 22, Jesus tells the messengers from John the Baptist, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and listen to this, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So there were a lot of great things that were happening at the same time that John, who had had this unique revelation of who Jesus was at his baptism, had been baptized in the Holy Spirit while he was in his mother's womb. Now he finds himself in a very difficult place, and he starts questioning, are you the one? He sends his disciples, and Jesus says, go back and tell him about all of the great things that are taking place. If you find yourself under attack, remind yourself. Do everything that you can to remember the great things that God has done. I picture that when Jesus or those messengers go back to John the Baptist, that John the Baptist has like a second wind blow through his sail, and his ministry to the people in the palace becomes even more credible, even more volume, and for those who did not want to repent, even more intolerable. So Jesus did not just raise the dead on an occasion. He raised people from the dead on many different occasions, and we've got that to look forward to should the Lord tarry. My preferred method is be to be raptured or snatched out of here. That would be fine and dandy for me. And I think I could probably get an amen across the county for that. But should the Lord tarry, I do recognize that the grave does not get the last word. Jesus does. And so he encounters this woman who would have been walking in front of the dead body, and God initiates the encounter, and it was, you know, like I said, not her first encounter with sorrow. And as she's walking, the Lord sees her. You may be going through a very difficult season in your life right now, and you may think that nobody sees, nobody pays attention, no one is noticing, but I want to assure you that God notices. Hagar had not always treated Sarai with the proper respect. And that led to some difficult days in her life. And she was crying out to God, and God revealed himself to Hagar as the Lord who sees. I want you to know that God sees you. He doesn't see you just to see what you are doing wrong. He sees you. He's not looking just to see what you're doing right. He sees you. He sees the situation that you are facing. It said that Jesus saw her, and when he saw her, he had compassion on her. That's the phrase that brings us to this passage. You may be going through the trial of your life. You might have thought that the last trial was the trial of your life, but this one is now proving to be even bigger. I want you to understand that God not only sees, but he's moved with compassion to act in the greatest trials. Here's the thing about trials. Trials serve as a vehicle which builds our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The trials tend to get bigger as we journey through life, but hopefully our faith has gotten bigger along the process, along the journey. A lot of people try and skip those other developmental stages of faith, and then all of a sudden when you get to the end, you know, and then you're facing really large problems, I want you to know the faith is still made available, but it's really meant to be a developmental process. And so Jesus saw her, saw what she was going through, knew about the husband, knew about the son, knew about her societal challenges, her economic challenges she was going to be facing, knew about the emotional issues she was dealing with. She was crying, and he leans to her and he says, "Do not weep." Now, I want you to know that contrary to the movie A League of Their Own, where the line is said, "There's no crying in baseball," or you know, about real men don't cry, you know, that nonsense that people have tried to push on society for, you know, a long time. You know, isn't it interesting? On one hand, they're trying to make men tough, and then on the other hand, society is also trying to delegitimize men demonstrating courageous activities and courageous lifestyles. But I want you to understand that the shortest verse in the Bible says this: Jesus wept. If Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb, and it wasn't because he was weeping for Lazarus, he was weeping for the people who were there and the tremendous loss that they were experiencing. But if he knows that there's a time to weep, and then he says, "Don't weep," there's got to be a reason for it. The reason is not because he's condemning weeping, but the reason is he's getting ready to turn sorrow into joy. He's getting ready to turn her darkest hour into faith's brightest moment in her life. She is getting ready to experience a miracle that few people had ever experienced on earth. And there were a few people who were experiencing it now that Jesus was on the scene. But for him to say, "Do not weep," that went against all of the visible evidence. I want to talk to you for just a moment about the instructions of Jesus. The instructions of Jesus are not because he's harsh, mean, cruel, and, you know, all of that sort. This instruction to her, this came to her because of his compassion. When we realize the word of God, and when it says do this, and when it says don't do that, it's not arbitrary. It's because God, in his great love for us, wants us to experience the blessings of him being Lord of our life, not the consequences of rejecting him as Lord of our life. So when he says, do not weep, he is setting her up for an emotional transition that's going from the basement to the penthouse in just a very short period of time. What does that say about how quickly God could resolve our issues? With just a word, with just a sentence, with just a few minutes in his presence, the devil's greatest victory can be in one of his most humiliating defeats. He says, do not weep. Here's what I want to share with you. Whatever Jesus speaks into our life is never wrong. It may seem to be contrary to what society would say. We saw that with Jairus's daughter. We saw that with this woman here. We see that at Lazarus in John chapter 11, I believe it is. We see that Jesus speaks not to the statements of the rest of society, but what he hears the Father saying. Do you know that God knew what was going on in her heart? God had something to say, and it started with, don't weep, don't weep. This is getting ready to be a season of rejoicing. When Jesus speaks that word to her, he goes over, he touches the open coffin, and the people who were carrying him stood still, and Jesus speaks to him and said, young man, I say to you, arise. This is resurrection season. Easter is coming up. By the way, I didn't mention this, but let me tell you, on Wednesday night, we are going to be having a night of prayer, a night of praise, a night of worship. We're going to have a night where we honor the sacrifice that God, you know, made so that we could have eternal life. So if you'd like to join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., 165 North Grove Street, we would love to have you come and join us as we enjoy the presence of God. Here, Jesus speaks a word, young man, I say to you, arise. He spoke to something that wasn't sick. He spoke to someone who wasn't just having a bad day. He spoke to someone whose body had no life in it. And the words that he spoke, the young man had no capability in his own resources to be able to make it happen. The only way this resurrection takes place is because God makes it happen. So whether you are young or whether you are old, whether you are a man, whether you are a woman, whatever situation you find yourself in today, please understand that the most important thing that can happen to our circumstances is for God to speak to us in the condition that we're. A lot of people say, hey, you know, when you go and you develop in this area, you know, I had that happen, you know, when I was trying, I was wanting to try out for the golf team. Well, what's the score that you shoot? Well, come back when you shoot 10 shots better. So the next year I come back, what do you do? I shoot 10 shots better. Well, come back when you shoot 10 more shots better. And the goalpost kept moving. Here, Jesus spoke to him in his absolute most helpless condition. He was dead. There was nothing this man could do. But I want you to understand that the word from Almighty God reaches into the grave. It not only has spiritual impact, but it reached to where this person was, and life came back into this body because Jesus spoke to him and said, young man, I say to you, arise. What is God saying to you about your circumstance? I guarantee you he's not saying, well, this is just helpless, it's just hopeless, just throw up your hands and give up. I guarantee you that's not the way that God is approaching your circumstance. What I do know is this, that if he speaks to a situation, it could be a pile of dust, and he says, this is getting ready to be my greatest creation, and he formed it into Adam, and he breathed into Adam, and he became a living being. That's what God is capable of doing. And I want you to remember, this was initiated by Jesus. And you're not listening to this program by accident. If you've got a situation that everybody else is looking as a hopeless, helpless situation that is just sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow, I want you to take this Easter season, I said Christmas there for a moment, take this resurrection season and say, Jesus, I need you to speak to me. I need you to speak to my situation. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came into my life. I'm thankful he came into your life. And I know he's still got a word to share, a word to say, a word to declare over our circumstances. That which is dead could come back to life in your situation. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.